I want to start today with asking you, do you hide your tears? Do you maybe wipe them away as soon as they fall, feeling really bad about the fact that you're crying? Do you apologize when you cry, saying something like, oh, don't mind me, it's just me, I'm too sensitive? Can you even allow yourself to cry at all in front of other people or even by yourself? If you answered yes to any of the above, I want you to know that you're not alone. Actually, you are in very good company, because many women who are daughters of narcissistic mothers have a hard time feeling comfortable having a good cry. And this can be for many different reasons, and I'm just going to try and get to some of the reasons. But again, you can obviously always reach out to me if your experience has been different and you want to add something to this. You can go on my website, send me an email, and yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I want to speak a little bit to what my experience with this topic was. And again, I always offer that as an example. And a point of spark for you to just see and look into your own experience, feel into your own experience, because that's what really is important. So for so long, I hated myself for crying. But I just couldn't help it. I cried a lot as a child. I cried at everything. I cried in movies. I cried if I was a little bit hurt. But most of all, which was the biggest issue of all, I cried so much in front of my mother. And at first, that earned me a nickname that roughly translated from Italian would be tears in the pocket. Like, I always had tears ready to come out. But then it actually started triggering my mother to no ends. So from like a joke, which was still quite sneering and not very pleasant, but it actually just came to a point where she really got angry when I cried. And I cried often when she spoke to me, because she spoke quite harshly. And so that triggered her even more. So she was upset to begin with. She spoke to me directly and harshly. I cried. And I really hated that mechanism. I hated how weak I was. And she would yell at me that I was weak, that I was too sensitive and I had to stop. So what I felt about myself was confirmed. It was like a loop, a cycle. And she could go all the way to get physical to make me stop. But as you can imagine, that only brought more tears. And I started believing her. I felt spineless. I felt weak. I felt with no character, destined to failure in life because I was too sensitive. And so I stopped crying. And I created a wall of cynicism around me. Let nothing touch me so I would not be weak. I avoided movies that I knew would make me cry. I avoided situations that I knew could potentially make me cry. If I had to cry for some reason, I would just make sure I was alone. I remember at the age of 11, I lost my great-grandmother, person that was extremely important in my life. She was amazing. And I didn't cry. I cry about losing her just a few years ago for the first time. I could just block it. Of course, my mother started calling me cold-hearted and calculating then. But that is to be expected with a narcissistic mother. You can never be right. That's the game of control. So to understand this better, you can listen to episode 1, the 10 signs, how to understand if your mom is a narcissist. So that is explained there, the whole control game. And if you haven't already listened to that, you can go into that later. So back to no crying anymore. For a while, I convinced myself it worked. I was tough. Like, I was the tough one. they started describing me like that, you know, like I could literally slice myself open playing outside and I could be in 10 out of 10 pain and there would be no showing on my face. I could just keep smiling and go, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I've had situations where people were like, yeah, but you're bleeding. Okay, but I'm fine. So I just keep going. I blocked it completely. But what happened is that it really didn't work on the long run. It hurt inside. So the hurt, that's important to understand. The hurt that is not being moved through, the hurt that is not being expressed on the outside. And there's many ways to do this. We're going to go and talk about this. But it reflects on the inside. You cannot block it. You can think you've blocked it, but it's not blocked. And also, another thing that happens is that all the joy was gone too. Because the thing is, if you close some parts of yourself to feeling, much more than that shuts up. If you can't feel anger or grief, then you can't fully experience joy and bliss. It's not that simple, but you can imagine it like as a line, and there's like a zero in the middle, which is your total neutral state. There's no feelings, and then there's like to one side all the so-called good feelings, and on the other side the so-called bad feelings. And so-called because there's no such a thing as a good feeling, a good emotion or a bad emotion. They're emotions. But let's view it like this for now, just to understand it a little bit. So if you are blocking to one side of the zero, the same extent blocks on the other. There's no way to avoid that. So if you can't feel the grief and the anger, you cannot experience the joy and the bliss. And of course, did I ever cry? Of course I cried. I did cry. But when I did cry, I was always feeling bad about it. Why? Because as a child, I was reprimanded for it badly. So at any moment that the tears actually came out, even in the privacy of my own space, there was a feeling of anxiety and of, I'm going to be punished for this. And it's not conscious, but it's within. It's a response that is inside and kicks in. And you don't mean to, you don't know why. I didn't know why for a very long time. And so when I cried in front of other people, I had to apologize for it. I had to say sorry, you know, just don't mind me. And I still remember, that was I think about 2 years ago, when in the safety of a women's circle, I let my tears fall, and for the first time ever, without wiping them off, like literally letting them flow down from my eyes, through my cheeks, going down my chin, neck, like it was a mess. And it felt so scary and liberating at the same time. It is liberating because crying heals. So there's different aspects to this that I'm going to try and talk to today. And one aspect is that, as I said, when there's something that hurts, you're feeling an emotion that would bring about tears, and you stop it, you block it, you repress it. That it's like an arrow that is not going towards the outer space and just be dissolved, but it just turns in and it comes inside of you. It creates like a pain somewhere inside of you, and that gets locked in, that gets stored in your tissues, in your cells, like in your body, somewhere in your energy body. We'll talk about this too and we'll go in depth into this, but it's just to give you a little hint for now. So that remains there. It forms like a scar, like a hard scar tissue within your body and within you, the totality of you. And so it's not just about learning from this point on to allow gently tears to flow when there is a natural moment where you feel the need to. Like, ask yourself in that moment when you feel tears swelling up behind your eyes, would I cry right now if I felt like I could? And if the answer is yes, be very honest with yourself. You need to be brutally honest with yourself. If the answer is yes, well then that's what you need in that moment. And if at the beginning it feels more comfortable to do that by yourself, that's good. That's okay too. That's okay too. You don't need to make a show of it. You don't need to go from 0 to 100. You don't need to, like, there's certain, I most definitely do not go crying in front of my mother still now. there's wisdom in here. There is no point in doing that in front of people and in places where it's very, very unsafe to do so. You cannot control what other people do and how they react to things. So my advice is to start in places and spaces where you feel the safest. And if that is by yourself for now, that's totally fine. If you have a friend where you know you can do that with, that's a great start. If you have maybe a partner that feels okay with this and you're okay with that, that's a good place to do that. My husband has been key in that. He has held space for countless years in many occasions. And that has helped me massively. So it's really important that it's safe and that you allow that to begin to flow when you feel the need. But also you will find that there's layers. And as you do this work, this type of work is going to allow you to release tears that are not connected to the moment. So there will be times as you open up to this that you will feel like crying for no apparent reason. And that it's okay. It's 100% natural because you are opening up all those little corners within yourself where tears had not been shed in the moment, in the past, but they're locked in there. They haven't dissolved. They don't just magically go. So they need to come out, and this will happen. Like that time that I'm speaking to, that time that I started crying in a women's circle, there was actually no reason. What we were doing was an embodied practice that was just absolutely amazing. It felt blissful. I wasn't sharing something that was in any way sad, or there was no reason. But there is a very good reason. It's something within that has found the safety to just move and go and dissolve. And it's like, it feels like there's like this massive bag of stones somewhere within your body. And then like you're just taking some of these heavy stones out. And so every time that you do that, you feel lighter. You feel clear, like clear waters. You know, it's like you're looking at waters that are running muddy and dirty. And then you're seeing waters that are like running clear. That's the feeling. That's how I can describe it. So it's really, really important to understand that, because you might think that you've turned from a person that never cried to a person that now is just spontaneously bursting into tears at any given moment. Is that how it's going to be? Probably not, because there's a little bit of catching up to do. There's a lot of stored things that need to be moved through, and it'll probably just even out as you keep practicing in the moment, allowing whatever needs to move through to move through, and the backlog just gets cleared and cleared and cleared. So that's one aspect that is really important. Actually, two aspects. So when in the moment you feel tears swelling up, that's number one. Ask yourself, would I cry right now if I felt safe? And if the answer is yes, find a situation where you feel safe and you can make that happen. If you need to excuse yourself for a moment and go somewhere else, you know, you could be among people, you could be in a space with people and you mightn't feel safe, you can just say, oh yeah, excuse me, and just go into a bathroom, go outside, go wherever, go hug a tree, but allow yourself to let them flow. And the other thing, the number two, is to remember that you might find yourself crying for no reason, and that is perfectly okay. It's the backlog that is being cleared. And yeah, well, if you're like me and if you have been shamed massively for being too sensitive when you were a child, there will be a lot of backlog to clear, for sure, for sure. Another aspect that is very important is that there are layers. So what I realized looking into my own experience was that I cried when I was angry. So my cry was not a weakness, was not out of weakness. It was a defense. I was in those moments so angry, but anger was not something I could ever express with my mother. Never. I could never say that I was angry and upset about her behavior. That would have been a disaster. She would have really reacted to that. Can you imagine what sort of a trigger would that have been? So survival again kicks in. Wisdom of strategies. My system made me, instead of the anger that would have been perceived by my mother as antagonizing her, as reacting to her, as a boundary, because anger is the emotion behind boundary setting. We're going to talk about this again in a different topic, in a different episode. We'll go in depth into this, but that's really important. Anger is the emotion behind boundary setting. So with a narcissistic mother, that really doesn't go. But if I made myself weak and cried, yeah, she still get triggered, but I could go through that. That was easier. So behind my tears, there was anger. And I could not access tears of grief until I figured that out. So there are layers. You will cry tears at different layers of emotions. If that makes sense. That can be really hard to understand in words, but it will help you when you are in the experience, I believe, because you will understand then. The more you open up to your tears and be unapologetic about it with yourself first and then with others, it will all make sense. This is just to give you an overview. So there's different layers of it, and there's going to be tears of anger, and there are then those are gonna open up. As those get cleared, as the backlog again gets cleared, you're gonna get to the grief. And the grief is juicy. It's so messy. It's so uncomfortable. That's a part that usually we really don't want to go to. I know with clients I work with, don't want to go there. I for sure did not want to go there. I resisted it so much. But when you get there, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's messy, what's on the far side, it's amazing. It really is. It's like at the end of the movie when they have to go through the worst battlefield or like the worst storm, the worst bit, but then you know on the far side there's the light, and it doesn't just happen in one go. It's a repeated process that happens because each time you're going a layer deeper and a layer deeper. But the grief, that feeling of grief, those unheld back tears of grief are super healing. Super, super healing. There is a deep honoring of yourself that happens anytime you allow tears to flow. That's important. You deserve that. So I'm going to say that again. There is a deep honoring of yourself that happens anytime you allow your tears to flow. It always brings a lightness to the heart afterwards. And as scary as it may seem, when you're witnessed by other women who are safe and can hold space for you, it is even more potent a medicine for your heart. There is nothing wrong in being sensitive. It's not a weakness, it's a precious gift. And yet, sensitive children suffer from narcissistic mother abuse tenfold. Because she will take any opportunity to shame a child that cries, a child that feels, because she can't do that. She can't feel. So she will call her daughter weak, too sensitive, spineless, worthless, a failure, you name it. Oh, wipe those tears off your face. Oh, not that again. Oh, don't tell me you're about to cry. She will teach the child self-hate and self-rejection in order to feel better about herself. I have seen that. I have actually seen people in my family just looking at my daughters crying at a movie and going, oh, what nonsense. And why is that? Because that person can't access that raw, beautiful, alive emotion. In that moment, they are meeting a wall. And they're looking at someone that so easily can get there. And that just drives them mad. And they don't know that. It's not conscious, but that's what happens. A narcissistic mother is unable to truly feel. And she resents the child that can still do that. More than likely because she has started in this world as a sensitive heart. And she had to close too at some point very early. No one is born a narcissist. But this is an explanation and not an excuse. It is not your responsibility to compensate for your mother's lacks or to sort her issues. You can't. If it makes her uncomfortable, she can suck it up. You need to keep yourself safe. And if it's unsafe to cry in front of your mother, don't do that. Be wise about it. But figure out ways you can do that for yourself. It is not your responsibility that your mom has her issues. This podcast is, as I say, often not about your mother, It is a space for you to come back to yourself. You were made believe that your sensitivity was a weakness, something bad in you to fix, and instead it's a strength. It is a strength. You will find that the more you open up to your tears, the more you open up to your authentic self to emerge. It's a path. It's a pathway. Your sensitivity is an amazing pathway to get places that other people struggle to get to. It is a gift. You can look at things. I don't know, maybe you can look at art. You can be in nature. You can look at a kitten or a puppy. I don't know, a child or anything, and you can feel it stirs something in you. And when you learn to allow it to move through in a safe way, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful gift. You can feel true joy and true bliss. Other things that others just dream about, talk about, rationalize about, you can feel it. Now, as I said, the more you open up to your tears, the more your authentic self emerge. The more the backlog gets cleared, it is a process. And it requires a safe environment. I'm going to stress this point because it's important. If you do that in places where it's not safe, it's going to only confirm the other belief, the one that it's better not to cry and that you're too sensitive and you don't want to do that. So safe environment, and also to be very, very, very kind to yourself. It can't be forced. So even after you've listened to this, it could take you a long time before you can actually really cry and feel good about that. You could still go, well, but I've heard all of these, but I still feel like I need to apologize. I still feel that's okay. Takes time. For some people it's quicker, for some people it takes longer, and there's no judgment there. It's you're not better or worse for that. It's your own process. Honor your own process, always, always. Comparing, it's an absolute disaster of a strategy. It never works. So your own process, doesn't matter how long it takes. I still feel like I have to apologize sometimes. If I cry, less and less, but sometimes it comes up and it's okay. And it's like, it's that old voice that just is only trying to protect me. It's only trying to go, are you really sure it's safe to do this? Because I remember when it wasn't, and it really was scary and it hurt bad. So do you want to do this? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. You just sit there. It's okay. We're good. Okay, so it's very important to be kind to yourself and not force the process, not try to speed it up. With all of that said, you can start today by downloading the free self-love practice that is available on my website. And as you do that practice, possibly every day, that'll be wonderful for yourself, you will find that at some point tears might flow. Even as you're practicing, and the advice is just to stay with the practice and stay with the tears, and there's no need to go exploring why you're crying, what's been triggered. Trust that if the tears are coming, some backlog is being clearing, and that's all that matters really. And it might not be pretty. It could be very messy, actually. And don't be scared if that happens. It's okay. Be the witness to your own tears. Keep mothering yourself in that. Be the mothering energy for the sweet child within you. That mothering energy you didn't get, it's there within yourself, and you can gift it to yourself. So if you feel like tears are flowing, just be there for you. I'm going to take that just out of there because it seems, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, that's just what you need to do. It's not a simple thing. But I know you can do that. I really do. and again, excuse me, feel free to ask questions, feel free to reach out. And if you want to know more about the Women's Circle, that again, you can go to my website and check it out, because that's what we do. We support each other, and in that, there's tons of tools that I explain, that I go in depth in, and we do practices together, so that all of these processes, you don't need to go through them alone, because it's, well, it's more difficult when you want to do it alone. I've done it for the most part alone, but when I did find support, that really helped. So that's it. You know why I'm here? Because every woman deserves to live a fulfilling life where she feels safe, loved, and alive. I believe that to my very core. And with that, I'm going to leave you. Lots of love, and bye for now.